What is up, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of Power Spike, where myself, Dom, and Monty are breaking down the world of LoL Esports. It's kind of put up or shut up time for LCS. It's time to start making moves in LPL and LCK. And in the LEC, a couple of big changes before the season even starts in the spring. Monty, how's it going, man?
Good. I'm laughing because you look really tired because it's 6 a.m. your time. And I'm laughing because I'm in your position whenever I do the Four Horsemen, where I'm the one who has to do the show that starts at 6 a.m. And it fucking sucks.
Yeah. So what I've learned and like the comments were just crushing me. They're like, damn, D-Gon's definitely been hitting the freeze pipe. I'm not. It's just... this damn time to do this is like, I've struggled, Dom. I've tried staying up the whole night into it today. I tried to sleep and then wake up, and it just, it's tough. I don't know how you do it, man.
Yeah.
That's why he's going to Germany, so he doesn't have to suffer anymore.
I mean, I'm so used to it, though. Like, I can just do it on end. I think for me, I've always been like, more of a morning person anyway, so it's not that bad waking up at like 3. Like, I could wake up, like, for example, I could wake up at 5 every day and be fine. Like, 5 is fine. 3 is hard, but in summer when it's 4, it's actually not that bad for me. Like, 4 is just a little bit earlier than I would, like, wake up if I was, like, really fucking... if I was tryharding life, if I was, like, I want to have, like, the most optimized life possible, waking up at 5 is, like, pretty much what I'm good with. So, I think it just depends on how you are as a person.
Yeah, I mean... I think most of the time you're able to wake up and function, but to wake up, be on camera and do it, definitely yeah. difficult. So hopefully you all at home are appreciative of us. Like, yep. crushing our sleep schedules
for you. Yeah.
It's one thing to wake up. It's another thing to like turn on all the lights in your face and like have to be entertaining immediately. That's the hard part.
Yeah. It's definitely not the easiest, but you know, what has been pretty entertaining has been the unprecedented rookie over in the LPL, Melky Way, shattering records. Dom, this kid has been so dang dominant. You've called it out, and now it's starting to gain a lot larger attention, given the fact that he's doing things that just haven't been done before.
Yeah, so this guy is one of the most like freak junglers that we've seen. He just popped up out of nowhere. He didn't even start in the first series for FPX. So when people give you that stat that's been repeated a bunch of times, where in 10 series he has like over 100 kills, that was actually with him not playing in the first. Like, he played a partial series in the first series, so he didn't even play a full series there as well. And at the beginning of the year, you know, he was just playing like Maokai and things like that. And very quickly, they realized that the way that this team has an angle to win, one of the things I like about LPL is that they play into the strengths of the team. And the strength of this team is that Milky Way can play carry junglers better than pretty much everyone else in LPL right now, which is crazy considering that, like, Shun is in the league and, you know, he's always been, like, that kindred guy. Lian is in the league as well. But pretty much everyone has, like, got in line. Duck Dom is on Senna duty every single time it's up. Life, you're playing Maokai, you're playing Nautilus, you're playing some type of like tanky engage. If this type of stuff is not up, we are playing Ashe, we're playing supportive champions, and we are playing around our hyper carry jungler. And yeah, Milky Way just carries like every game, and even the games that he's carrying are hard games for his champion. Like, he is getting Kindred now 4 games in a row, but the reason why he's getting that is because you don't feel like you can ban this guy out. This guy had a Beast Diana game earlier. Like, he can play everything in the jungle right now. He's played Viego, like, he can play all the carry junglers in the jungle right now. So it feels like the best way to attack this team is to try to ban out his teammates, ban out the utility, and make Duck Dom play something where he actually needs to play the game. Because, you know, you saw his Ezreal, and the thing that's so impressive about Milky Way is that he's winning games while his teammates are actively trying to lose the game. Like, that's how you know that this guy is a fucking beast. Like, his Duck Dom wants to lose, and Milky Way is like, no, I'm going to win anyway. So it's pretty impressive.
Sometimes Duck Dom plays Fasting Senna and walks into top lane and helps out top lane and ganks with Senna. That happens. And then sometimes he just runs it down on Twisted Fate, and somehow they win anyway. So
runs it down on Ezreal, just shifts into the whole enemy team and just dies. It's like it literally just looks like a borderline win trade watching this
Dom,
play.
Dom, the FPX run would be much less entertaining if Duck Dumb wasn't playing this way, because it makes it so improbable that in one fucking week that they were able to beat the following three teams: Pop Esports, NIP, and Weibo, all in the same week. And their next match is, again, is coming up this week. They have one match this week against BLG, and then their next match after that is JDG. So, like, they actually could go on a fucking historic run if they manage to, like, 5-0 these teams. That is, I don't think it's going to happen, but I also didn't think they were going to get this far, so who the fuck knows now?
Yeah, even then, like, a 3-2 against those types of teams seems surprising and something, yeah, I guess that you're willing to hang your hat on, given the fact, yeah, that NIP was, you called it, Dom, like, yes, they had an easier strength of schedule, but, you know, is still playing those top teams back to back to back with prep, with whatnot. Can you give us an example of, for both of you, what this performance can be contextualized as in the history of LoL Esports? What's another player that has had to, I guess, that kind of hard carry performance so early on in their career?
I mean, Faker, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, like,
we're comparing Milky Way to Faker?
You asked, like, literally, like, right from the start, Faker was incredibly good. Like, he was incredibly good from his first game and incredibly versatile. And he was dominating other mid laners who were considered the best in the world right away. And he didn't win in his first split. Like, he was in third, fourth place, but he did make top four, and then he won in his second split, which was 2013 summer. So yeah, I'm not saying, but you asked, like, which players were this dominant right out the gate as a rookie, and, like, Faker's the obvious one that comes to mind. It was exceptional, and this is really impressive. And, like, Milky Way has won Rookie of the Week every single week of LPL so far, and he was the best player of the week this last week for that 3-0 performance. It is bonkers what he's doing. And not only that, but I'm just going to put this out there as points in Milky Way's favor. Faker fucking plays mid lane, okay? It's a lot easier to hard carry from the mid lane than it is from the jungle, because you have more money, more levels, more focus in the center of the map to do it. And the era in which Faker played, it was also much easier to dominate from the mid lane, because there were items like Deathfire Grasp, and support and jungle had no items.
Yeah, and so not only is jungle is weak right now, like, if you watch, like, for example, like, I watched LCK today, what is the jungle meta? It's like first pick Sejuani, bro. Both teams are fighting over the first pick Sejuani, and then, like, Peanut's like, oh, I can answer the Sejuani, maybe I can squeeze the Zac game in. Like, this is the fucking, this is the meta that we're in. We're in a Sejuani, Rell, Maokai, Vi, Xin Zhao. Like, you get two items, and then that's it. And then you stop fucking farming. If you watched the Damwon versus KT series, Lucid was like, at 45 minutes, the Poppy had two items. Because you do not care about your jungler having any type of gold at all. You put him on a champion that's going to be useful with low amounts of gold, and you just fucking stick them there and just be like, all right, just play the team fight, just do what the team needs. Lucid bought like 45 pink wards in a game or some bullshit. Like, it was just actually absurd to look at how many pink wards this guy was buying, because, like, you just don't, like, no one plays around their jungler anymore. So FPX, like, there's a good part of it too, because the team was projected to be so bad, they're leaning into whatever style works. Like, even if playing around jungle is not an optimal style, like, you don't have options right now. You're not going to be playing around Duck Dumb. Care is not some beast mid laner. He's playing okay.
He's all right.
He's doing his job, but his job is to make sure that Milky Way gets strong every single game. The whole team's job is to play around Milky Way.
He's the Bengi in this situation. They've reversed roles.
Yes, they've reversed roles. Yeah. The other person that people will instantly talk about when they talk about rookies performing is going to be Bo on FPX, because he came into FPX, he was a rookie, he 10-0'd, he won every single game that he played, and he looked like a fucking monster. The difference is, that was a star-studded FPX roster. That was not this FPX. Like, this is an FPX that is currently in fourth place, and not only are they in fourth place, they look like the fourth best team. Like, they beat the other teams that should be competing for that fourth place spot. Like, they beat NIP, who was ahead of them in the standings. NIP was 7-1. They beat Weibo, who people thought was going to be a good team. They beat Top Esports, even though that one's a little bit fraudulent. But they beat LNG in, like, a pretty legitimate matter. They just look like they are the fourth best team in LPL right now. And they were actually supposed to be a 15th place team, whereas Bo was playing with Nuggery, with like fucking Doenbe when the split afterwards, he's winning MVP. This is like still what I would consider prime Doenbe when he's one of the best mid laners in all of LPL. Like LWX was not as fraudulent as he is right now. That team actually was good. That was a crisp LWX, like Doenbe Nuggery lineup. This is a lineup that should not make playoffs. They should win like three series over the course of the entire LPL split. They're already at 7 after the first 10 series, and it's like all because of this guy.
And they've also got most of the hard teams already behind them, and they will definitely have all of the hard teams basically behind them by the time they finish the next couple of matches that they play. So,
yeah. I mean, they're favorites versus IG. Like, IG is not a good team. They're favorites versus IG no matter what happens in the next few series. They're favorites versus IG. RNG.
Thunder Talk, yeah.
Yeah, Thunder Talk. I mean, with their schedule, they should be hitting 11 wins. Like, 11 wins is really fucking good in LPL. 11 wins normally means that you're at least 5th, 6th. Like, at minimum, you're 5th, 6th. Sometimes you can even be top 4 with 11 wins. And top 4 in LPL means that you skip the first two rounds of playoffs, which is huge.
Yeah, the LPL gauntlet might be bypassed here. I just keep thinking, one, T1 fans are in shambles that you just compared Milky Way to Faker, but then
you asked me to compare it to somebody.
I'm not
projecting, you know, the confidence that Milky Way is going to have a Faker-esque career and dominate League of Legends and become the most famous player in the world over the next 10 years. But as far, there have not been very many players who show up as rookies and who do this, is what I'm saying. Does it continue? I don't fucking know. Is it reminiscent of Faker's debut? It is.
I also love Dom's point on contextualizing why, both in terms of historical FPX teams, and I guess just examples from the past where it's not star-studded, and how this specific FPX team is playing strategically towards it, because I think a player that can slot into a high pressure, high profile kind of role and find success that we almost took it for granted, and I still think are, and he's still in there. Well, I guess he's not in his first season anymore, but was Paze, right? Paze came on in to a Gen G roster. That roster, obviously, very, very studded. You're playing with Chovy. You have less to worry about there. However, we don't bat an eye at that. He just replaced one of the greatest 80 carries in LCK history, and it was plug and play. Let's go win some championships.
So I will say about the Paze move, like, yes, obviously he won the title in his first split and he had a very impressive performance, but it did take a while for him to get up to speed, and he was getting kind of stupidly dove under tower, and he was overextending quite a bit. And also we have to remember that he was, you know, he's an 80 carry and his job was to get microed by Peanut, right? And even then he was still making some macro mistakes which were hampering Gen G, but the core of that team, especially in their macro play and their identity, was so strong that all he had to do was slot in, and he still wasn't as good as Ruler. I think what's impressive about Milky Way is, like, he's the center of this team, and he can't not shot call as a jungler, especially in the early game. So as a rookie, he is displaying a pretty impressive macro sense.
You look at his gameplay, and there's no way that anyone else could be calling the things that he's doing. Like, he's literally hopping a wall when they're doomed, when they're in a game that is like 100% lost. He's hopping a wall and like one-shotting the Azir. There's no way that like Duck Dom's sitting there and just like saying in Chinese real quick, just go 1v1 the Azir real quick so that we can win the 5-4v5 afterwards. Like, no one is fucking shot calling this shit for him. Like, he just has that game sense where when he gets strong, he knows how to carry the fucking game. So, the team's playing around him, but you got to remember, like, this FPX roster last year had the same solo laners. They had the same solo laners. This was a care team last year. Like, this team had Jalahu top lane as well last year. They won 10 series over the course of the entire year in LPL last year. They still have 6 series to go in spring split. They already have 7 wins. It's not Duck Dom and Life that came in and started carrying this team. This is literally just all Milky Way just being the fucking beast. That's all it is.
How do you feel about life just existing to troll Viper and then now existing to troll Milky Way?
I mean, to be honest, like I've kind of liked Life as a player. I really liked his debut on Gen G when he was playing like the set support and stuff, or not, I guess not debut, but like when he was playing set right. support and all these engage champions, like he always was somebody who was good at finding engage angles. The problem was engage hasn't been meta for a long time, so like he was playing fucking Lulu and stuff for Viper. It was horrible.
But his Maokai engages are actually pretty legit a lot of the time, because he will actually set up angles for Maokai ult that really benefits Milky Way's ability to carry. We have a laugh about Life, but I actually have been impressed with some of his team fighting and some of the setups he's had on picks.
I think he's the better part of the bot lane.
When he's out of lane and he's setting up Milky Way, I think he's been pretty good.
What a reversal. What a reputation reversal here for Life. I just remember us constantly, constantly begging for anyone else for Viper, Hanwha Viper Esports, because it was just so crazy how much that wasn't a fit. But now just put him with Deokdam, and now Deokdam's just the punchline Milky Way being the great joke.
Here are the things he does. He either farms himself and gets strong, and Deokdam, like, walks into top lane as Senna and ganks, or he just leaves lane and then Duck Dumb just has to farm under turret and he just walks around with Milky Way getting kills. So that's what's funny about this team is that nobody, there's like one person in that bot lane at all times.
Yeah. I just last point here. I love your example of saying that for Paze, Peanut was controlling Paze, because we already made the meme that it's Chovy in Krang controlling people.
Right. Well, that's how it was. Now Gen G has been unleashed with Shot Caller, Chovy, and Lehens. That's what's going on over there now. But yeah, I mean, it is true that Peanut was hands down controlling that team. So I love FBX. This team is super fun to watch right now. Outside of his Milky Way's play, which is wonderful, I think what's so funny about this team, though, is it just feels like they have plot armor, because every time you think they're going to lose, they just don't lose. And it's almost like they can mind control the enemy team into not defending split pushes properly, or like doing objectives where their base is destroyed. So it's really funny, because sometimes it's like Milky Way hard carrying, and sometimes it's just the other team basically refusing to win. Which is weird to watch, but yeah. I'm here for it. I'm here for the plot armor experience. If this team can keep winning in the most improbable fashions, it is delightfully entertaining.
Well, yeah. that plot armor, as we said, is going to be challenged here in the next three games: BLG, JDG, and then IG, which, you know, high ranking, but IG showing some cracks in the armor. We'll see. What happens here for our friends at home? Call to action time, as we do. What is your most memorable rookie experience that can be compared to as Milky Way? Let us know in the comments below over at our YouTube channel. And while you're there, give us a subscribe and like the video to help us out with the all-knowing algorithm of YouTube and, of course, all the platforms that we have here for Last Free Nation. Next up. We go from kind of like unbelievable in the good way to unbelievable in the other way. It's time for Everything's on Fire. And there's a little team in Europe making some changes that maybe you have heard of that leaked out. Maybe you got a little XD out of it from Twitter. Yeah, that's right. Los Heretics have made the change in the mid lane and support. I mean, support was kind of, it might have been coming, but Perks bench for the rookie, as well as Kaiser out as well for Trimby. So Heretics have made some changes. They made a video, and now everything is on fire. Tom, I'm going to go with you to you here first. Perks being benched. The Heretics released a video statement probably just a little while ago before we shot our or before we're shooting this episode now, saying they originally made a move away from Kaiser to Trimby for the winter split. They did a little bit of scrims. Things got worse. And then they had more one-on-one conversations and decided to remove Perks and put in the young rookie. I couldn't fully say it. Zyru, Polish mid laner from the Heretics jungle academy. Sounds Zyru? A lot like. Yeah, they just said it so quickly. Zyru, sounding a lot like the what's the Counter Strike player's name? Zywoo,
or Zywoo.
There's an R in here.
Yeah, Zywoo.
But what do you make of this move? Both moves here, and kind of like the reasoning behind it, the process behind it here by the Heretics management, Dom.
Well, I mean, they're obviously lying. So I mean, we can start with that. Like 100% they're lying, because they didn't make the move because they believe in Zywoo. Like, if you look at how they've treated him, like, since he's been on their academy organization, he won EU Masters and he beat Ruby while he was winning EU Masters. He completely like ran the fucking tournament, and he didn't get promoted to LEC. Like, they didn't believe in him when he was actually beating Ruby. They took the guy that he beat the shit out of over him in Heretics originally. Then when Ruby wasn't working out, they didn't go to him. They went to Vedio. And then when they moved on from Vedio, they went to Perks. So there's literally three different opportunities for them to put Zywoo in, and they didn't take any of them until now, which is like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, even now they let Perks play a split before they even made this change. So it's not something that had to do with them really believing in their academy mid laner. And then when you look at the team itself, and you look at the reports that came out, this was a change that was done supposedly after an argument. And in the response video, or like whatever this was, I don't even know what the fuck to call this video. It looked like they were literally hostages, and there was like
they looked pained as they were saying the decisions they made.
Yeah, it's super weird. Like, normally you'd like share decisions, but they're looking like somebody died. Like, I don't know if they had just like killed Perks right before they made this video, or what was going on, but they looked somber in it. So it was very strange to see just the vibe of the video just in general. It's like they're looking down, they're not really looking at the camera. It just felt like they were lying the entire time. And obviously they didn't explicitly say that it wasn't because of this debate, because they want to like have plausible deniability. So they're just like, yeah. And you know, people have been talking about the argument that happened, the famous argument. And then they immediately just cut over to, and we believe in Zywoo. It's like, wait, you didn't address what you were just saying. Like, so was there an argument, or was there not an argument? Was there an argument that led to Perks getting benched, which was what the report was, right? Like, this came out in a report. So if it wasn't true, you would say it, right? You'd be like, this did not happen. This argument that led to the benching did not happen. They, of course, don't explicitly say that. So, I mean, it's just all bullshit. They're just trying to make it seem like, oh, they really believe in this guy. They've proven that they don't believe in this guy with their actions over the last year and a half.
Monty, I mean, what are your quick takes on here? Or I guess early takes on this move.
Yeah, look, I think it's funny that we have a segment called Everything is on Fire, and it's Team Heretics, because obviously that's mm-hmm. typically what you do with Heretics, is you light them on fire historically, right? I enjoy that as a complete aside. But I think it's pretty outrageous what's going on. Not because Perks doesn't deserve to be benched, but it is interesting that they chose to give up VTO despite the success that they had with that player towards the end of the 2023 season, you know, in spite of other issues on their roster that they later addressed, like Evie's not on this team anymore, and they went out and they got Wonder. And, it's weird that they would get rid of this player who has been in, you know, pretty good form over the last few years, did actually win an MVP as well. And Perks, I think the Vitality Super Team was a failure, not always entirely his fault, but I think that if you just look at his play this year so far, you would say that it's been pretty bad. And it's unfortunate to say that given the his history and his career, but there's no other way to look at it. And he should probably be benched purely for performance issues. And I'm not entirely sure why they can't just say that. You know, I think
because
it's completely
the truth. That's why.
I think that's a very palatable reason to do it. And potentially it could be just to motivate him back into some kind of form, but I don't see what they have really to lose by putting in this tier two player at this point in time, because it's hard to believe that it's going to be that much worse than the performance Perks was consistently putting out. I mean, it was bad.
What do you make of the Kaiser Trimby move as well?
I think that one's a little bit weird because other teams could have used Trimby more, like Carmine Corp. Right? and Kaiser was good. And like, I think if you look at the whole of LEC Winter, you would probably say that the bot lane was the best part about Heretics, because even by the end, Jankos and Wonder, by the time they got into the best of threes, were not performing particularly well. So overall, I would say that I don't think the bot lane was the issue. And so bringing in Trimby, it might help a little, but I don't think it helps as much as replacing mid lane, right? I'm much more comfortable giving Jankos particularly another shot at this, even though some of his games in the best of threes were not very good, because at least I got to see him be extremely good last year on a bad team. And so I like to think that he still has it in him, right?
So I think the thing that's perplexing to me is a lot of, in this video, a lot of it, as you were touching on, Dom, it talks about the intangibles that weren't going down through the team, whether it was good leadership or good habits. And the fact that this was one move with Kaiser and Trimby, and then they scrimmed, and then another move. Like, that just feels weird. Peter Dunn, who's always been out front and outspoken and talking about things, one, not in the video, and two, like, has taken
just
like
very weird, by the way,
like, kind of fallen back. So what was that?
Well, one of the things you hire Peter Dunn for is roster GMing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is something that he does very effectively and has done really well over the course of his career. So it's weird that he would not be one of the spokespeople in this video if he believed in what was going on, because he's not shy about being on camera, right?
Right.
And he's not shy about taking responsibility. So it makes it feel like Peter Dunn doesn't even want these changes.
Yeah. And maybe that is a Heretics thing. You know, it could be just a bad, not a great PR situation. But when you have a track record, as Peter does, as a player manager, as someone who's been in tough spots and made tough decisions, and whether it worked out or not, has taken accountability for it, just doesn't feel great. Okay, with this change here, Dom, what does this do to the team? What do you predict for the squad moving into the spring split?
I mean, the thing is, they're kind of in the same boat as Carmine Corp, where you could make bad decisions, but you performed so poorly, you placed so poorly in winter, that you could just still be terrible and like get sixth, and then that's technically like an improvement over what you did before. So I don't think that this makes them like a good team or anything. Maybe they could, their results could be marginally better. Like, maybe they get a better draw in the best of three portion. They make best of threes, they get a better draw in the best of three portion, and suddenly they're a sixth place team. But I don't think they'll be good. I don't think that this makes them a competitive team. And even though like Jankos, Wonder, like these guys are professionals, when you watch, when you see the reactions from like Flocked and Jankos on social media, and you even hear Jankos go against things that were said in the video. So Jankos actually reacted to this Heretics video, and he even he disagreed with the points, with some of the points that were being made. Primarily, he disagreed with the point that scrims were worse coming into spring split with Perks and Kaiser on the team, or Perks and Trimby on the team when they were scrimming together. He says that like, oh no, this, like, he disagrees that they were performing worse in scrims. He thinks that they were doing better in scrims. it just seems like you just lost the team. Like this was the G2 run back with the boys, and now you removed one of the boys, and now it's like all business. I just feel like the team doesn't even have a huge upside anymore. Whereas before, you felt like if Perks could just play a little bit better, you know, they could be a confidence team and they could be a team that actually like outperforms expectations. Like now I just feel like, okay, you're solidifying yourself in the 6th to 10th place area, like the 6th to 10th place standing of LEC.
Yeah. If you were going to run this roster, you run it to the end. Give them time to get the magic back. I know that when, you know, maybe it's an Arnea thing, but like when you are in a managerial position, you only have certain levers to pull to make moves. And with the three splits that LEC has, you'll want to pull those levers, especially if you're not getting the results that you want early. But then why did you put this roster together in the first place, Monty?
Yeah, exactly. It's weird.
Yeah. Do you think this pans out well for them? Or how? No, let's try that again. How can this pan out well for them, Monty? I'm going to make it harder.
Zuiru has a Faker Milky Way-esque rookie debut. And that carries them to an LEC title. There you go.
All right. They are the Mad Lions darlings of the spring from last year. Maybe they make the run back. For Jankos's sake, like, holy shit. He's just been through heavy last year. Now he's like, all right, I'm back with the boys. And the boys are just getting put out to pasture. Hopefully there's some success there for his sake. Friends at home. Do you think this was a good move, and why or why not? Let us know in the comments below, because you know, we get to see the fire show as it happens, as LEC will be returning here very soon, and we'll get to see the fruits of the labor of the management over of Heretics, and we'll get to see if Peter Dunn starts to come out and say something, because the players have already made their reactions known. This one's going to be a good one. Speaking of good ones, last week, guys, LCS had a pretty good viewership bump, I'd say, Monty, with no host from LEC. With
imagine VCT how good the viewership would have been if they hosted this week on the Super Bowl. It would have been insane.
Up 4%. Yeah. It's all right. They're going to do Easter this year, too. Easter is banging for League of Legends. Jesus loves Easter. He came back just to actually kind of ran it down first, but then he came back. He ran in Fountain. I'll just say sacrilegious things. It's fine. And came back into the game.
Yeah, Jesus had guardian angel. That's right. That was pretty good, Monty.
He loves LOL, so I'm sure the second year in a row of finals, spring finals on Easter Sunday, for as far as I can tell, no fucking reason, because it's in their studio, by the way. It's in their studio, and there are 2 weeks before LEC's and LCK's finals. So you could just put it the next weekend. You have a month until MSI. Why the fuck is it on Easter Sunday again? Why is it on March 31st? By the way, Deegan, I'll do you one better. You could have just skipped this week in the Rumble Room with the chain link fencing and all the money you had to spend to set that up. Just had a 3-week break instead. Delayed the finals 1 week, and then it wouldn't have been on Easter Sunday, and you wouldn't have had to use the sub studio. Wacky.
A 3-week break, though. I mean, to be fair, if there was a 3-week break, we would have got him
exactly
for that.
After a 2-week break, it's the same fucking thing, Deegan. It's like, if it's 2 weeks, it might as well be 3 weeks. You know, as long as it gets an off Easter Sunday and doesn't have the league end 2 weeks earlier than most of the other major regions in the world.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, think
it's pretty weird. Also, I would say the issue is that the 2-week break, I mean, it essentially ends up being like a 3-week break, because there's 2 weeks off, but it's 3 weeks for the players since the players played their last match. And I think that it really hurt the quality of the games this last weekend. Like, I think it's bad for the teams competitively as well. Like, it's hard to be in the flow of a season and then just have like this random 2-week break and maintain the same intensity and actually get the same amount of value. I think that a lot of times what ends up happening is, in my experience, when you have a break like this, a lot of times teams, they overestimate their ability to change over that time period. So they'll take on bigger things. Whereas generally when you're doing the week to week grind, you try to focus on like smaller things that are more tangible. It's like, okay, we're going to fix this one problem for the next week. This is what we're going to be focusing our scrims on. A lot of times in my experience, when you have these big breaks, what ends up happening is you start thinking like, oh, well, we can incorporate big concepts that we were bad at. So let's say we were a team that was like, you know, really bad at split pushing. We are going to become a good split pushing team over this 3 weeks, and it just doesn't end up happening, and you end up wasting a lot of time without having that like constant test on the weekends. I think it's very hard for you to increase your performance like at a good rate. I just think that it makes it extremely weird. So that's an issue I see for a lot of teams generally, is they just try to do too much in the break. They try to use that time to practice in a way to completely overhaul their team, and the end result is that they realize they're not competent enough in all those different areas to incorporate multiple different play styles into like their own, and then they just end up kind of just having to go back to what they were doing originally, but then they've lost time.
Yeah, and I really like that point, because when you looked at the streaks of teams that won this last week, it was And with my interviews as well that I was able to sit down with players and coaches, you got to hear a lot of the teams that found success, NRG, Cloud9, it was, let's get back to the fundamentals over this break. And a lot of the teams that I think struggled, I mean, you look at TL and Immortals, these are teams that boomed a couple of teams that had found success. They struggled because it felt like they weren't able to close out games, more fundamentals of getting leads and transitioning it into wins. So it just felt like the teams that we were expected to be good went back to basics and now like found themselves a couple of wins. The teams that were surprising teams just fumbled the bag, really. It wasn't just they lost, they fumbled the bag. They had opportunities to win and they messed it up. So I think the break part there was definitely valid to streaking teams and turning around favors if you focused on the macro there. That does bring us to our high key, low key, no key of the week, though, which are the best teams to watch in the LCS, whether in those parameters are up to you to interpret, but which ones are the best to watch? And I got a little input from our guest casters, so I'll give that after we introduce the segment. Let's get to it. This week we had on the LCS, it was Poe Belter and Afromu. Got to sit down with them both afterwards. What did you guys think of their guest appearances, Monty?
That was fine. I enjoy both of them.
Yeah, I like Inspired, actually. I liked Inspired. I thought he was pretty good on the cast. Because, I mean, he's just... the thing is, I really like hearing, like, just people that are really good at the game speak about, like, what they're thinking. And I thought that Inspired was really on point in just, like, being able to give his view of the game to the viewer, where you start, like, seeing, like, okay, this is how this guy thinks about the game. This is why he's such an effective jungler.
I feel like that's also effective person, because the way that he was talking about the game is the same way that he talks in esports soccer. Yep. Like it's very analytical and also a little punchy. He's like, well, now I can't do anything. Or like now this is going to happen. It was like, oh, this is same guy. With Afro and Pope.
How good is he at esports soccer?
I think he's very good. He is a first to second round pick.
Like, good.
We always have drafts in esports soccer. Usually it's myself or Vulcan or Sharks, coach of Immortals, or Casper as like captains. And then the amalgamation of us. Plus there's one PA who plays with us. Super good. he's always a first round pick too. So it's usually me, Casper, and then this one PA is like first round picks, and Vulcan as first round picks, or goalie. Anyways, sidetracked. Poe Belter and Afro both said, because I was like, hey man, welcome back. It's good to see you. You know, how you been? Blah, blah, blah. Those interviews will go up probably like this week and next week for Degani Sports YouTube channel. I was like, what? They're like, oh, it's my first time back since I was playing as a pro, whatever. It's like, what did you notice the most? And it's like, the shit just feels sloppy and it makes me feel like I still got it. So with that said, they could tell that, you know, maybe there's some growth there in terms of the
skill. Yeah, I don't think that feeling ever goes away. I'll be honest. I feel like once you've been a pro, you always are going to have that ego within you. Like, I still feel to this day when I play solo queue, I'm like, fucking give me an Uter game on stage. I'm going to fucking take some heads. Like, throw me in this game right now. Put me on Volibear or Udyr. Like, it's time, bro. Like, I'm going to fucking stomp an LCS game.
You get Volibear, so Udyr. Dom, what power ranking of jungler are you in LCS? Where are you? If you get Volibear or Udyr, top five?
It depends on the game for them. Dude, if you put me on a Volibear game right now, like you put me right now on a Volibear game, I'm top four for sure. I'm gonna run a fucking game. I'm telling you, I'm running a fucking game. Like, we are getting 6 grubs, 2 drakes. The game is fucking won.
Blabber, contracts inspired. Who else?
Bro, I might take their heads too, bro. I might take everyone's head on Volibear right now. I'm just saying. Like, it might just be over for them.
Okay.
For Poe Belter, one thing I would say is just he plays against all these guys in solo queue. When you play enough challenger solo queue, like you're just gonna play versus pros all the time, and then you're gonna win enough of a percentage of the games that you're just going to like believe that you could do it on stage if you've had that experience before. But yeah, so in terms of like high key, low key, no key, where are we starting? We're starting no key.
Yeah, let's start with the no key teams. Sorry, no key teams. Which teams do you? And this is just best teams to watch, right? Not best teams. Not like, you know, almost.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, what do you like to watch?
I'm no key excited for Team Liquid. I hate watching Team Liquid play. they really like just piss me off. So I'll go no key for Team Liquid.
I'm gonna go no key Dignitas and Immortals. I do not like watching either of those teams play. They do not. It doesn't.
I don't
spark
mind watching Dignitas.
Really? What?
Yeah, I don't mind watching Dignitas.
They're boring.
I think Dove is like pretty good. I think that he is he's somebody who's
I would a million times rather watch Team Liquid than Dignitas, because at least look, Team Liquid had some beautiful games. The first game they played against Cloud9, their macro was fucking gorgeous. So they've got that going
but it
for
was
them.
Such an easy Plus, game to macro. Like look, they're macroing versus a team that has no tools.
Look, they still executed it very well. And there were points in the latest game against Cloud9 where it looked like they were going to get Dragon Soul. But now my favorite thing is just seeing how they throw.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I just don't like teams that should be good that are performing poorly. I just don't like watching teams
Why
like
should
that.
They be good? They look at their mid and AD carry. They're performing to expectations.
They have literally like double world champ on this fucking roster. They just imported a Korean right from LCK. They literally have double world champ plus newly imported LCK player. Like the fact that they're
hey, you place, of all I people should know that tough. Playing with a world champ doesn't necessarily mean it's gonna go well in NA.
All I'm saying is when I had a world champ on my team, we weren't finishing in the bottom fucking 3 of the league. That's all I'll say.
That's right. The curse of fourth, baby.
No, we never even got fourth. We were third. I placed third both splits with Piglet.
Oh, curse of fourth happened afterwards.
Beforehand.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Piglet helped the team. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, the curse of fourth thing was like just a narrative, to be honest, because like I was like when I joined the team, it was season 4. So I got 2/4 and 2/3. Like people make it seem like, did you get fourth your whole career? It's like, no, I played with Dig. We got second. And then it was like 2/4, 2/3. Wasn't that bad.
I feel like we haven't had a Piglet rant in a while, so that was.
Yeah, I've been going on random ones.
I was trying to provoke him.
Yeah, I've been going on some random Piglet rants. I just get like, I get some like banger stories out about Piglet. I mean, one of my favorite stories that I tell pretty frequently that people know is the one where he would literally just kill his supports in order to try to see if they would trust him. So like, I mean, that's like, it's pretty fucking insane, to be honest. He would just force his supports to int. Like, he would just tell them like, yo, you should go in right now. And then they would be like, what? Like, I don't see an angle. Okay. Like, but okay, I guess I'll do it. And then they would just die. And then he'd be like, good, good. Yeah. Now I know that you'll like it. I just need you to be able to like die for me at like a moment's notice. I need to be able to just like end your life at any moment that I need to. Like, it's fucking based.
Who was that suffering at that time? Was that
Smoothie?
God, poor Andy. Yeah. You know, oh yeah. You know what?
I mean, they played one game together, they never played again. Like, I don't know. Smoothie, he made Smoothie cry in a week. Literally 1 week of scrims, he made Smoothie cry. It was pretty based. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. Like, the thing is, like, it was such a crazy way he would make people cry. Like, he wouldn't make them cry because he was like being so mean to them. It's just that like they could tell that he thought that they were such a piece of shit that they would just feel so bad about themselves that they would start crying.
I'll go confirm with Vulcan tonight at Esports Soccer because he spent some time with him over at Clutch.
Yeah, I don't know if I think I asked Vulcan about this before because I did an episode of the Crackdown, but apparently like Vulcan just didn't break. Vulcan didn't have that same experience, but that was also like season 8.
Yeah, he has the dog in him. For me, I think the team I don't like watching the most is actually NRG. It's I don't like watching them. It stresses me out that they're not playing well, that they're not playing as good as they've been, that it feels like they get a better bot lane and they're playing worse. I'd say
who could have expected that this specific group of players would have regressed to the mean. I don't know, man. Who could have guessed? It's so weird.
You know me. I like the storyline. I like supporting my boy Juanito. It hurts watching him play.
Contracts, truly the Zekka of 2023.
No, man. He's still performing well. On Ivern.
Okay, I'm gonna say at least Zekka was a world champion is on a top three team in LCK right now. Contracts won a Swiss stage game.
What does top three mean in LCK? Like, there's like no, like it's like there's a top two and then everyone else.
We'll get there.
Okay, all right.
It's the lottery.
But my point is, he didn't just get bopped in quarters, and you know, now might not even make top three.
I will say that every time they show the Zekka graphic, it's like world champion, and then here's like the list of like they have a graphic whenever they play Gen G of like all the achievements of Chovy, all the achievements of Faker, and just like one little line there for Zekka. They always do it dirty.
Isn't it crazy that League has such a horrible format that you'd probably rather have Zekka's resume? Like, if you could choose between Zekka's resume and Chovy's resume, you'd rather have Zekka's resume.
It's the same thing. It's soccer, like the way that soccer's set up. Like, you could have a ton of like club championships, so like Champions League like trophies and league titles, but another guy has the World Cup. So I feel like it's similar. No,
I mean, you're comparing it probably to the worst title system in professional sports. So, I mean. You could be right, but it just goes to show how fucked up Riot's international circuit, competitive circuit is, because the World Cup is the worst fucking tournament ever devised. So you break up teams with established synergy and you just put nationalism into it and you literally make worse teams for those players with a bunch of like random bums that have to fill out from their various countries instead of being on like the giga stacked super teams that they're on most of the time. And then we have to watch them play and pretend like it's in a fucking terrible format of pool play into a single elimination tournament that hinges frequently on the utterly dog shit tiebreaker format that is penalty kicks.
I love it.
It is D-God. It is garbage. It is garbage. Great. Why are we deciding an elimination match that has been played for 90 minutes between two entire teams into a 1v1 that has no bearing on the rest of the game. Soccer is a garbage sport and it has garbage formats. And this comparison just makes Riot look absolutely giga terrible for the fact that what you're saying is actually true, that you can make these comparisons, but the comparisons make my heart ache.
There it is. All right, we're starting to get some friends in the chat now. That was a very Kokona American take. Give me the American football. Let's just get them one chance to score a touchdown to end the game. That happened over at the Bowl of Super this year. This year. That's how we should end games, America. Cacao. All right.
I'm sorry, rest of the world, that soccer is just a horribly designed sport. And here, if you want me to go against America, baseball is also a terribly designed sport. So there you go. I also hate baseball. Enjoy. Okay.
All right. We derailed because as Monty poked Dom for Piglet rants, I know I can always poke Monty for format rants. All right. So, yes, NRG, beneficiary of a great format that lends them to be best of the West. But I just don't like watching them domestically right now because they don't look great. You can also throw in TL there for me. Maybe like hate watch TL because of I just want Ian to be good. I just want APA to be good. And he'll get a lead. He'll type. And right after he types, you can see him type. He's standing still. He walks forward and then gets like smashed by the jungler and then dies. Which is what happened this week as well, according to some sources that played in those games. You get a kill, type, and then boom, get boomed. Very funny. Very, very funny. Yeah. All right. Let's go to our low-key teams. Best teams to watch. Low-key best teams to watch. Look, in LCS.
I think Liquid, NRG, they fall into this category for me. Cloud9. I guess a little bit as well. I'm not super psyched on watching Cloud9 anymore because sure, they can have a really dominant performance like they did against FlyQuest, but FlyQuest looks super off that game. And then the very next game, they're once more just inexplicably almost losing to Team Liquid. And like that Team Liquid game was fucking terrible. Everybody should get fired from Cloud9 and Team Liquid for that game.
So it looked like KT versus Dom won. That shit,
yes,
like you should.
That was terrible too.
All 10 players and the coaching staff, like that was crazy.
But see, the difference is we only got one game of Cloud9 versus Team Liquid. We got three of D Plus versus Ooh. KT. Yeah. It was an extended fiesta.
It was an extended fiesta.
Dom, you low key? Who are you low key on?
I'm like low-key excited for NRG, I would say. I think NRG is like I think that they'll be better than they are right now. Like they're having a lot of really weird games and they're still trying things out. Like they're doing Vayne top. Like I think that if they really just want to start collecting wins and that like shit hits the fan, they can go back to contracts on his tanks. Like Renekton's back in the meta for Dokla. You can just play weak side. Also, I think the Jace buffs actually help this team because Dokla's best champion is probably Jace. Historically, like this guy was a Jace Aurelia 2-trick in like season 7 even. So yeah, I think this team will be decent. I think that like everyone is high on 100 Thieves because of their record, but like I don't think 100 Thieves is actually going to
so
do
fraudulent.
Much. Yeah, they're pretty fraudulent. I think the best three teams are Cloud9, NRG, and FlyQuest. I wouldn't be surprised to see NRG win versus FlyQuest in a best of 5. I don't think FlyQuest are like particularly amazing.
Yeah, I don't think they're bulletproof, but they are. They feel like the most complete team. Like it is.
I don't know, man.
When their bot lane runs it down, they like really run it down. They actually just sabotage games. Like the call is coming from inside the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, remember for this specific high key low key no key, we're not talking best teams. Best teams.
That's why my high key teams would be FlyQuest, 100 Thieves, and Shopify. Because I fucking love watching Shopify. I don't care if they're bad.
You love Shopify,
man. I do love Shopify. They're consistently entertaining. They are consistently entertaining. I love watching the creative ways in which they lose. I just have fun watching Shopify get. I had fun watching the Shopify Dignitas loss. But I think FlyQuest also you know, there's an air of spiciness, an air of randomness about FlyQuest. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, usually with Bwipo teams, that's always true. But now we have the Masu Busio bot lane, and God knows what's going to fucking happen down there after the games they play. So I'm in for that one. And then 100 Thieves, I enjoy watching this team. Obviously, everybody loves Sniper. I enjoy seeing how hard Sniper can win lane. And like Quid can do kind of all right, and River can do pretty well. And then they have to drag Ayla's corpse across the finish line every single game. And Sniper also will make some dreadful macro plays and get caught out. So it's like, can River and Quid just like carry Ayla to the end of the game or not? It's fun. It's fun for me. So those are the teams I derive entertainment from watching.
I had the chance this week to interview both coaches, Spooks and Golden Glue. And I did throw out like, hey, let's run down your roster. You know, River's aggressive. Everyone talk about Sniper. Meech is low-key slept on. Quid is having a renaissance. Talk to me about Bill. Like, talk to me about Ayla, because he's generally going to go under the radar. Like, what is he providing? What are you seeing that he can't see? And the way that they answered is like, he provides a lot of the intangibles. He provides a lot of the shot calling. One of our wins was completely based on the fact that he warded behind one of these teams. We TP'd on him, we killed him, and then we ended up rushing through the base. He provides a lot of those things. I think it's difficult, but to fully quantify, but he has been an integral part of the team. I just wanted to throw that one out there, because I feel like as a viewer, it's what you've said, Monty. It's like, okay, Ayla's getting pulled across. So where's the redeeming qualities? And, you know, the coaches, they're obviously going to say positive things, but those were some of the things that they relayed.
His most redeeming quality is, you know, drafting from the support position and having a North American residency. That's why he's here.
Jeez. Dom, who are your besties to watch? Get out of this one.
Look, I think Cloud9 was like the worst team to watch before, but I think they will be the best team to watch soon. Like, I thought that their game versus FlyQuest was pretty close to being like almost a perfect game if JoJo didn't get randomly caught on their first Baron. I mean, that game was just closed out like through just solid play. Like, they just, I don't know, they just played the game like without many mistakes. And I think JoJo's probably one of my favorite players to watch in LCS. I think, like, I do think he's the best player in LCS. It's like between him and Inspired for me. But I just like watching him play, because I think he's really, really good. He does make mistakes, not a perfect player, but I just think he's insane.
Monty got too excited to tell his high key ones that I didn't get to tell my low key ones.
Oh, sorry. What are your low key ones?
The low-key ones for me are the 80 carries that just don't get supported by their team, to see how hard they can carry while being sat on by a tanky top laner. So give me the B-Boy, give me Smolder from Tomo, give me Tactical against everyone.
That was all. No!
Yeah,
Tomo makes Smolder look balanced. Like, he makes Smolder actually look like it's the type of champion where, like, it requires skill.
No, there was one game where I think it was FBI played Smolder, and that did not look great. I think it was
Though. Smolder release. I mean, this is like, if you watch FBI or if you watch Tomo in some of these fights, it's actually impossible for him to die if he just uses his abilities in any other way than the way he uses them. Like, he like flies into the whole team, and then he'll like cleanse flash forward like into the skill. It's like, did you just misclick like all your abilities at the same time? Like, what even happened to you?
I was just watching him just like panic use all of his subs into a wall.
Yeah, I mean, there was the reason why that Dig versus Shopify game was so long is because of how terrible Tomo is. Like, if Tomo was at all better, they just win the game instantly off like the engage from the NAR. Like, it's just an insta win.
Not like, everyone can be
himself, it's
yeah,
rough.
Not everyone can be great teams. So you got to find an identity somehow. And Filthy Frank is providing the entertainment value there for him, because
he's
filthy. You know,
he's a filthy player.
Rich and Dove are like, they're trying too hard. They're not entertaining enough.
I mean, I think Tomo is literally just the worst part of the team. If you look at the team, I mean, I think XU's been surprisingly good. Like, I thought that he was going to be the weakest player. I think he's been solid. I mean, I'm just the type, like, I think Isles does make decent decisions. Like, his engagements with Nautilus were part of the reason why they were able to, like, win these fights. Like, his idea of when to go in with the timing on the Gnar flank was good. I mean, I think Dove is actually, like, low-key underrated in LCS, but their AD carry is just bad. And because of that, they just lose a lot of games.
Damn, the guy that they built around. The house that this was built on will now be, you know, I guess on the block. According
I don't even know what that means, built around. Like, did they build around Tomo, or did they just, like, did they just find, like, imports? They're like, okay, like, this guy is North American and an AD carry. Who else could we get? It'll be our AD carry.
He drafts from the AD carry position. He possesses a North American residency.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are my low keys. It's that kind of like clumped up, like, well, how do the AD carries play? But when we go to the high keys, give me FlyQuest. I like the way that they've just been put together. The renaissance of Jensen has been good. Figuring out what the bot lane is going to, you know, play and how they're going to play pop off there or blow up. That's always fun. And 100 Thieves. Watch 100 Thieves, man. It's just fun. It's just fun to know that Sniper is going to do something brilliant and then do something so brain dead and then do something that looks brain dead and it ends up being brilliant. Like, it is just...
that's why they're
the
fun
human
to watch.
Highlight reel.
He's a human light reel. Sometimes the lights are low.
The human light reel. Also, again, Meech has been kind of, like, I think, just slept on. The context that the coaches gave is like, well, he has been in the academy system for a while, been on top academy teams for a little while, so he's not like a rookie, but he is a rookie. He's like as prepared of a rookie you could be. So I was like, oh, okay. So this has been a fun team to watch. So watching Bwipo put Sniper in the dumpster was just great. It was just great to watch. Like, was it great for 100 Thieves development? Probably, maybe. Was it like, you know, the closest game? Not really, but just to know that Bwipo is like, fuck this kid, and then just shits on him is great. Like, he just calling the shot and doing that. So, yeah. Those are my high keys. All right. Well, those are our best teams to watch in the LCS. So, friends, let us know, who do you like watching and why? Do you like hate watching? Do you like weird picks? Do you like bad teams? Do you like good teams? Do you like teams that used to be good that are now bad? Do you like bad teams that used to be good? They're all here in the LCS. Let us know which ones you like and what your flavor is. Also in the chat, please stop talking about the MLS and soccer leagues in North America. It's not a good league. Like, Monty win that argument.
What are you
right?
talking
Monty
about? That argument. Messi, the greatest player of all time, is in MLS, D-Gon. That means it's good, right?
Yep. Yeah. David Beckham, you know, was in MLS.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we don't have D-Gon, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have an international soccer system where, like, a bunch of the best players are just randomly in the Saudi leagues or MLS, right? Thereby diluting them and making the overall sport worse.
It made that league better for a little bit, and then they got the bag and left. They got the bag and left. Doesn't that sound familiar? Is LCS, was old LCS the Saudi league, Monty?
I mean, yes, is the answer. Yes.
No. It was the Korean exodus to the LPL. That was the old Saudi
league. Oh, don't worry. The future LCS is also going to be the Saudi league.
That's actually true. by the way, it would not surprise me at all if by next year ESL was writing LCS. That would not surprise me at all.
We'll see.
D-Gon, they're already experimenting with having it not on the main stage in the Riot Studio. Just going to put that out there for you. They're already experimenting with it.
Over at
you can't go back.
ESCWC.
No, not just that. I'm saying, like, they put them in the closet already. So, you know, they'll be prepared to move this to a different studio. We'll see. We'll see, D-Gon. The Saudi money's going to come knocking, and nobody's going to say no.
What did we think of the chain link fence and the face off?
I mean, it was whatever, right? They did the best they could in a shit situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I mean, I like, it's kind of shit for the way that things are going, because I feel like this would have been a really, like, if they did not actively kill LCS for like 4 years straight, this would actually be like such a good split of LCS, which, I mean, it is a good split of LCS. I think the players have more personality than it's been.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, like the people that have been in the league, a lot of the imports that they're adding, like, for example, Umpty, I think, is a great person to have in LCS. You know, like, he's comfortable talking in front of the camera. Seems like he's actually enthusiastic about being here. He's not one of the imports that's like here and he just looks depressed. I'd say the same thing about like Dove. Like, his vibe is more like, you know, like, oh, I'm like, even Quid, like, a lot of these players seem like they actually want to play, as opposed to like, yeah, they're just fucking some old wash player collecting a bag, you know? Like, I don't think that they have much better options than this. It's not like these guys could be in LCK right now, so.
Well, Umpty could definitely be in LCK now, but Umpty not on a good LCK team.
He could be on Bro again, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. This is
one game winning streak, Bro, baby. Yep. They beat someone that wasn't Kwangdong Freaks, finally.
Yeah, they beat DRX tonight.
They beat DRX today. I watched it. They almost, I don't know how they, like, they flipped a Baron when they were up, like, 10k gold at 40 minutes, but it's fine. We'll just accept it.
The Giga Chads, baby.
Let's talk LCK.
All right, get to it. To close it on out, let's go to our Galaxy Brain Club. Which teams are the true elites right now? So, yeah, time for the big brain stuff. So we do get to talk about LCK in this part. So elite teams around the world. Earlier in the year, you guys kind of projected it. Monty, you've done your power rankings of those top teams. Where do we start? Do we just give
I think we're just trying to say, like, who are like the S tier teams, because we're coming up on playoffs, you know, we're coming up on the first international tournament of the year. So who do we think are teams that, like, legitimately have a shot at winning, like a decent shot at winning, not some crazy dark horse like FPX, right, that even though they're performing well right now are like still quite a flawed team. And for LCK, I mean, Dob said it earlier, like, this is a two-team league right now. It really is T1 and Gen G. And you might think, oh, well, Hanwha only has one more loss, right? But it's the answer is...
standing. It's such a
fake standing. It is a fake standing.
if you watch the Hanwha Life versus Gen G series, like, it actually feels like Hanwha Life could never beat Gen G. It looks like if they played 100 best of threes, Gen G would win 100 best of threes. Like, even when Gen G, like it's almost like Hanwha Life is so much worse than Gen G that it makes Gen G play worse in the games. Like, Gen G just goes for decisions that are, like, kind of sloppy, and they're like, all right, focus up, boys. Like, let's just fucking close them out. You know, game's over. The series was not even close. If you look at the kill score, you might be like, oh, game two is kind of close. It literally just never felt like Hanwha Life was going to win either of the games played.
And I think the problem, too, is that when we see teams play Hanwha, like, you know, maybe some of us on this show had some hope that KT might actually defeat them. They just get slammed. So, you know, there's like Gen G T1, Vast Gulf, Hanwha, Vast Gulf, and then the shit show that is D plus KT and Kwangdong. Like, the
so who's the best shit out of those three teams?
Nobody knows.
I'm gonna say Dom 1.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. You're trying to set him up for it.
You've been trying to make this claim.
Yes, I've been trying to make the claim, and you were against me. You thought that KT was gonna beat Dom 1.
All right, I counter you with this. The best game in that series was played by KT and was game number 2, and then they just lost.
They still massively threw that game at a point. Like, they were up like 10k gold, and they somehow didn't get soul. I mean, these teams are terrible, but I think Dom 1 just has better play. Like, Lucid has been so fucking bad too, man. Like, watching this guy, it's like, wasn't he supposed to be mechanically good? Wasn't that his thing, that he was supposed to be like a mechanical prodigy? But like, his mechanic is like, he made me turn off my stream in that game too, by the way.
No.
That game too, I had my stream on. I just on LPL. Game two, I switched to Dom 1 versus KT. And he threw that Sejuani ult mid where he missed by, like, I don't even know, like, maybe like 700, you know, like, this guy just completely missed a QR on a Varus sitting mid, like, by such a bad degree that I ended my stream. I refuse to show that to my viewers anymore. Like, I felt like actually guilty about what I was doing to my viewers. So I had to end my stream just out of compassion for them. So, I mean, I don't know, like, if Lucid plays a little bit better, I still think Showmaker is good. It's just Domwon's macro is fucking terrible. But then also KT's yep. macro is like somehow even worse than Domwon's macro. So it's like, and also, are we done coping about Kwangdong? Like at this point, we could just what?
Why I'm not. Not.
Great argument.
I'm not.
Why are we not done coping about Kwangdong?
I'm not done coping about Kwangdong yet. I'm gonna cope even harder. You just wait.
How?
This week, I think they'll have a decent performance tomorrow against T1.
They are gonna get smacked 2-0 by T1. It's not gonna even be.
They will lose 2-0. I will give you that. But I think that one of those games might be somewhat close.
It will be game number two.
One of the games against Gen G was kind of close.
Yes, but that's the same thing. It's because Gen G beat Kwangdong's ass so fucking hard in game one that you like game two, you're like not even mentally prepared to play the game because you know how much better you are than the enemy teams.
I see.
I don't hold that against teams. Like a lot of people really take that to heart. Like when Gen G has a slot, like Gen G had a sloppy game two versus Hanwha Life, right? But like when you're that much better than a team, like fuck it. You just are that much better than a team to me. Gen G, they stomp. When you stop a team game one and then game two, you're like in a position to stop. And then you kind of like fuck up a little bit and then you get it together and you end the game still in like under 30 minutes. That's just, that's how LPL teams play all the fucking time, to be honest.
Look, I'm going to hold on. I'm gonna hold on to my Kwangdong copium until the very last week of the regular season, because that's when they play D plus and KT. And that's when we're going to get the matches that really determine seeding and who doesn't play the third seed. So,
I mean, Kwangdong, I was hoping they lost to Nongshim. I'm going to be honest. I was hoping that they were going to lose to Nongshim. Like when they were 1-1 going
into
game
3. Why do you hate them so much?
Because it's mainly because of you. I just want you to admit to myself. You're the reason why I'm flaming them. Because every single show, I have to like come here. And, like, it's just not good for you to be supporting Kwangdong. Like, it's just not healthy for you to support Kwangdong.
Oh, okay. Are you concerned about my health? You can't have anything.
Yeah.
No, I don't want KT. I do not want KT. I do not want KT. I always thought they were frauds. I fucking hate them this year. But Kwangdong has charmed me. You know, they've charmed me, and I believe in Cuz.
It's not good, Monty. It's not good.
I'm touched though that you're so concerned. You're so concerned about my health.
All I'm hoping for, right? Because Kwangdong is definitely losing to T1, and they're definitely going to lose to Hanwha Life next week. So I'm hoping that when they play FearX or they play against DRX, they actually just lose one of those series. So then we can be fully done coping about like Kwangdong. Then it's just like over. Like then it would just be borderline delusion when they're like,
I'm just waiting until they beat D plus in the final week of the regular season. You just wait.
They might. But it won't matter. That's the thing, is they'll already be like such a sixth place disaster team by then that no one will even care.
My worry here, Monty, on the Kwangdong train is that, do you see what T1 did to Bro? Like, I'm worried that they just get that level bodied and then they like slip up here against like DRX or a team that they should beat, or like, you know, FearX or something like that. That's my fear, that the mental warfare is going to just be too much of just getting slapped around by like a Kench or something.
Nah, they have some good veterans. They have some good veterans. I believe in them. They're not going to lose to the shitter teams. They're not going to lose.
So, look, guys, I know that we are talking about such great elite.
Yeah, we're
supposed
to talk about the elite teams. So, the point is that there are only T1 and Gen G. These are the best teams within the LCK. They're the only real contenders. It would be shocking if these weren't the teams that were sent to MSI, and either of these teams would obviously have a very good chance of winning MSI. They're going to play each other this week. It'll be very exciting. Let's go over to the LPL teams, because I think things are a lot murkier over there. To who we think might be going to MSI or who might be like truly internationally elite. Like I think it's pretty convincing to say that BLG, outside of that whack ass fluke game to IG, has looked very, very good. There are some kind of fraud teams towards the top of the standings based on strength of schedule, but are we willing to put BLG, JDG and Top Esports in this bucket?
Yeah, definitely. In my opinion, like, definitely. I think JDG like looks like probably the sketchiest out of all them. But the thing that people don't understand about like LPL is like a team like BOG, when they're already 8-1, 9-1, they've already secured going to playoffs. Like they are playing to improve. Like they are playing smolder every single game. A lot of the mistakes you see them making is like BLG style is to fight all the time, right? Like that is, they're like the mega Chinese team. That was the thing that I would always say, is that they're the most Chinese team in China. And what that means is that they want to fight everything. They want to die. They want to fight everything. They're learning new champions. Like smolder just came into the meta. When they play against WE, by the way, WE is not a bad team. Everyone thinks that WE is just terrible. Like, they're actually a fine team. I think WE actually played they played pretty well against BLG. It's not like they mega inted and BLG just like won because of some flukes.
Especially
they just
game number one was really quite close.
Yeah, game number one was close. And game number two, it's like even when they're losing, like they just kind of got outscaled by the Smolder, which is just a problem with Smolder. It doesn't feel like WE played horrible. So that's a decent team to test yourself against. And BLG took fights that they shouldn't at that point in the game. But that's something that they can easily correct. They can also just draft, you know, the stuff that they have been drafting the entire split and win those types of games. So when teams try to like push themselves forward and they try to adapt and they are going to be playing new champions, they're playing different play styles, I don't hold that against them forever. It's like the same thing around like T1, for example. Like when T1 plays an ADTF game and they have like a fucking miserable game against Nongshim and lose it, I'm not like sitting there like, damn, is T1 washed? Like I might like jokingly say that on stream, but like I don't actually think that T1 is a bad team because they try to push themselves forward and they're not good at playing ADTF. Same thing happened with JDG. JDG literally had the same exact game that T1 had where Ruler tried to play ADTF and it looked like Guma playing ADTF. Like these motherfuckers just suck at TF. Like it is what it is. They're probably not going to have to play it because it's getting nerfed. Like whatever. We can just forget about them fucking playing TF and forget the results of these games. But I don't mind that from a team like BLG. Like I don't think there's any way where, like when I'm watching BLG play and when they play at their max level, like they are a team that is definitely better than a team like Hanwha Life in my mind. Like they're definitely in conversation. Yeah. For, you know, being one of the best teams in the world. And BLG, like, they almost won MSI last year. They almost won MSI last year, and they upgraded their roster this year. And they looked way better. They look way better right now than they did at this point last year in LPL. Like, they've barely skated into playoffs in spring. So this team is just solid. Like, they are a good team. They're playing things that they're not particularly good at right now. So the results are not, they're not dominating the enemy teams like as hard as they can, but like they're also just trying to be the best they can at this patch. So Knight is playing a bunch of Karma. If Knight goes back to playing Ahri, if they play Ahri and they play Vi on Shun, they'll look fucking good. If Knight is playing Talia, Ahri, you know, his fucking just normal champions, Nico, whatever, they're going to just fucking beat these teams. If they play these aggressive bot lanes like they did before, they will just like have dominant performances. But the whole goal is to improve at this point in the split because they've pretty much already secured playoffs. I think they actually have technically secured playoffs already, and there's still 6 best of 3s left. And they know that like they're playing to win the league. They're not playing to like, you know, to get into playoffs or something like that. Like they want to just be as good as possible.
Yeah, Dom hates T1, not because they're playing bad, just because he has a hate boner for T1, obviously.
Yes.
Monty, go ahead. You're in thinking.
Yeah, I think that's just where we kind of draw the line, like between like those, in my mind, those are kind of like the 5 elite teams right now. And even among those elite teams, I think like it's like BLG, T1 and Gen G would be like the chief favorites, and then JDG and Top Esports might be just like slightly below.
I would say Top Esports looks better to me than JDG looks. Like I would say like Top Esports, I would put it like the bottom. They like maybe that would be top 3, then 4, and then 5 would be like, I would put JDG considerably lower. The thing is, you just have to give, like, it's hard for me to discount a team like JDG. Like even though they don't look dominant the same way they looked dominant last year, this is a team that in 2022 won LPL kind of looking like this. Like they had like kind of sketchy early games and they were better at setups, better in team fighting. And you can do that versus teams that are good as well. Like it's not like they're going to get ran over so hard by Gen G that they can never make it to like a Drake fight where they could outperform.
Yeah. So, and it's worth saying too, in Top's case, that what their first loss was the very first game of the LPL, which is like everybody coming off the break, which, and they lost to BLG. So read into that what you want. And the second loss was just giga fluky in that wacky game 3 versus FPX.
Yeah.
Like that was the, Baron for Nexus trade that was like so fucking wild. I mean, it was unbelievable to see the end of that game. And I don't think anybody watches that game three and is like, yeah, FPX deserves to win this game. Like, they didn't. They were getting popped.
It feels like FPX was the worst team after they won.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, JDG have a hard strength of schedule coming up as well. They have the Milky Way experience next week. They have top esports after that. Anyone Legends after that. Like, they Weibo after that. IG after that. Like, they don't have an easier strength of schedule compared to some of the other teams, I'd say. So
that's true. That actually is quite difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, they'll be tested. They'll be tested for sure.
All right, so we'll get the definitive answer on the 4-5 matchup, but by that point, you know, JDG might not, you know, maybe FPX is in that 4-5 of what the Elite is. Yeah,
The thing is, like, FPX is just, they're not going to luck into the same, like, number of wins that they've had on these fluky circumstances. And, like, the real fear is once you get into a best of five against this team, like, and, your opponents have a lot of time to prepare specifically for you, might be tougher.
I mean, the problem is that when you look at the other rosters, like, you can pair the players that are looking weak on JDG, like Flandre and Yagao. Number one, I think Flandre is mega underrated by people right now. I don't think he's been close to as bad as people
Fine a lot of the time.
He's been fine a lot of the time, and a lot of times he's just getting, like, no help, or Kanavi is, like, actively ruining Flandre's lane when Flandre puts himself in, like, decent spots right. in the lane. So it's not really like Flandre is going to get mega outclassed. We've seen Flandre international. We've seen him play against the best players in the world. You see him now playing in LPL, and it's not like he is getting giga gapped by people to the degree where he cannot play the game anymore. Like, he looks stable. He looks fine, and he is going to be a weak side top laner for this team. And you compare that to people like Duckdom on FPX, and it's like, Duckdom will lose you way more games than Flandre will lose you. And the fear of FPX is once people start drafting really cynically and they're like, okay, you guys are not playing Maokai, you're not playing Senna, you're not playing fucking Ashe, you're not playing Varus, you're not playing any of the stuff that you can just kind of be a passenger with, and you actually have to lane and stuff, then Duckdom is going to run it down. Like, it feels like Duckdom will just lose you so many games.
We have that clear top five. Who's close? Who's close? Give, like, two or three teams that are close to the top five, whether...
Well, like, on the bubble, well, it's Hanwha, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, like, at this point in time, I think you can say that FPX is pretty legit, especially after the last week of competition. So
That's the only team I would put there from LPL.
Yeah, those are the ones that I think are the most on the bubble. I mean,
so
people
no
will get
IG,
hyped.
No
well,
NIP.
IG, which is why people are getting hyped, but, like...
They're not good.
Yeah, I don't really believe
he could have lost EDG easily yesterday, by the way. Could have easily been an EDG win. I mean, IG, the fact they won a game against top esports was pretty fraudulent. I mean, they almost lost to LGD. They almost lost to EDG. They did lose to WE. I think IG, so this is one thing, this is a take that I had. I think IG is going to be one of the teams in competition with Weibo for that last playoff spot. Everyone sees LNG and they see that, like, LNG right now is three games behind IG, but LNG, I think, will beat IG when they play against each other. That happens next week, so we'll see. But LNG has LGD, IG, EDG, AL, WE, RA left. That's what LNG has. Even if they do lose to WE and AL, who are looking pretty legit, I mean, they're still going to win probably four of those series and make it into playoffs. Whereas IG, if you look at IG's strength of schedule, they play against LNG, FPX, JDG, OMG, Weibo. I could see them actually losing every single match that they have left. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, IG almost lost yesterday to EDG. I think AL has been looking better than them. FPX has been looking better than them. I think a lot of it comes down to that LNG-IG series. But yeah, I mean, Weibo has a pretty hard strength of schedule coming up. And they are 4-5 right now, so they're only at four wins. And IG has a pretty hard strength of schedule, too. I think OMG will probably end up being fine as well, because if you look at OMG's strength of schedule, OMG still plays against LGD, RNG, Ultra Prime. They have that match against IG. I think OMG is at least getting to eight wins. So the last playoff spot is between OMG, Weibo, IG, in my mind. I think LNG will make it.
It's always sad when you just talk about those bottom teams, like, yeah, those are wins. you know, and to see like, you know,
I mean, it's not always like that, to be honest. Like those could just not be wins, but
right.
I feels like they will be right now, at least.
And that's what I was saying, because you've pushed for the longest time, and it's been proven true that anyone can beat anyone in the LPL. Let's go watch, like, you know, the lower end matches, because, you know, those are the, you know, bare knuckle brawl like type of games. But this year it kind of feels like there's a larger separation from at least the top half in the, I guess
it's
maybe
like
the
there's
top,
like a top 11 and bottom six. Like in my mind in LPL, there's top 11 and there's a bottom six. DT, RA, LGD, Ultra Prime, RNG, EDG. I mean, it's crazy to say that RNG and EDG might be the two worst teams in the league, but that's right now how it looks. Those are the bottom teams. And then the top 11 is pretty competitive.
Well, Invictus Gaming making EDG look like there's some life left in them after giving them a game win yesterday. All right. Well, those are our top teams from around the world. That's why you watch this show, so that we can compare them. Are we missing an elite team in there? Are you a G2 fanboy that wants us to talk about them and how they're elite? Let us know in the comments and maybe we'll do it next week.
I find there are more G2 haters who just like to say that G2 is like not internationally competitive whatsoever. That's the weird thing, is like G2 is clearly like at least somewhat internationally competitive, but people like to deny that that fact is a reality.
I would take G2 over any team that is lower than Hanwha Life, and probably, I mean, I think that G2 could beat FPX, but I would take G2 over FPX, Dom1, KT, KDF.
Yep, me too.
And the rest of those teams in LPL, like, down. I just don't think that they can compete with, like, the top three LPL and the top two LCK. Top three LCK as well, I'd say. I think Hanwha Life would probably just beat them.
Well, there you have it. Let us know in the comments below on what bubble matchup you'd like to see to get them into the elite there. All right, guys, another episode done and dusted. Let's see, is there anything that we missed that we needed to touch on? Hidden has been let go, so Excel hiring Trick, and Cass has now taken over Excel. Does that excite you for the Gigantes? Either one of you, does it move the needle?
Nope.
There you go. See, chat, I'm a man of the people. You guys asked for it, and that's all you get. Nope. No Azir bug kind of came up. It was like invisible when you dash, but now it's Azir's been disabled until they fix that, I guess. That's big-ish. Like if it's
BDD
for the rest
and
of
KZ Rolster and Shambles.
Yeah, because Azir's been something that's been relatively picked. I think that's it. All right, Dom. Did you update us on passport drama? Are you leaving yet?
Like, yeah, why have my passport? I have my passport now.
You got it?
Yep. Finally. It was.
What did you have to do? Did you have to go
I just had to wait for it at this point.
The lady, yeah, like,
I did all the bullshit.
Maybe if you give me a rub, young man, I'll get it. I'll get to it.
Yeah, I had to suck the guy's dick at the head of the
that's what
Department
I
of State. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's right.
Yep. That's how I got it.
All right. So when are you heading out?
Tomorrow, 7 a.m.
Did you have to rebuy the flight again?
Yep. I had to reschedule it three times, and it's been $1,000 each time. So minus $3,000 awesome. Because of people lying to me, but it's fine. You know what? We'll just do some advertisements and call it a day.
There you go. You know, man, that it gets expensive rebooking those first class flights, man.
Business class, not first class.
Okay. Monty, what do you got coming up?
Just more streams and shows, as usual.
What did you think of Avatar The Last Airbender live action?
I thought it was decent, actually. I thought it was decent. It wasn't great, but it was pretty enjoyable. I thought it was pretty enjoyable. Like a solid, like 6.5 to 7 out of 10. I'm too old for the animated series, so I hadn't watched it. So it was interesting talking to Doa on our show Nerd Legion about that stuff. It was all right. I'm watching Constellation now, which is like actually quite good on Apple TV.
Which one is that? Constellation.
It is a very good like sci-fi thriller about an astronaut on the International Space Station who starts to experience alternate realities. It's pretty cool. It's pretty good.
Okay. Well, to dive into more of that, you can head on over to our Last Free Nation Culture channel as Monty and Doa dive into things in.
Yeah, I think we're going to do Dune. Dune is our next show. So there you go. We'll talk about Dune. We'll talk about Dune. We may talk about Shogun. We'll talk about Constellation. There's a bunch of stuff coming up.
Awesome. Yeah. For me, LCS interviews coming out. I did like 11 this week, 12. So it was really cool to chat with.
When are you going back to cast on LCS again?
I would love to do that. That would be great. Wouldn't it be great for?
I think it would be great.
I think
you should tweet at LCS.
Rafa clears. Get in line, buddy.
I love Rafa. I love Rafa. Rafa had a tough series. Had a one tough call. And like he's not gonna say this because he's an absolute stand-up guy. Like the swap of casters. I like Pope. Like, yeah, I didn't ask during my interview with Pope, but there was definitely something that happened where, you know, he's trying to play by play and they're like shuffling things around. So like when that stuff happened,
I could hear people talking to production in the background of that cast, by the way. Wait, I was listening to it on my screen. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but there were definitely like I could hear the other mics picking up other casters talking to production constantly throughout that cast. There was some fucking weird shit that was happening.
Yeah, like I think I've given my sense to Rafa as well. It's like, Rafa, you have such high highs, call these fights, man. And he knows, and I think he's well equipped to be highly successful in the LCS. Not everyone's going to be Flowers. Not everyone's going to be Atlas. Let the guy figure out his personality when he casts. So there it is, defending a fellow caster. So just give him some time. But yes, it would be great if I came back to the LCS too. I had a lot of fun, and I'm more than happy to do it again. Yeah, there you go. That's our weekly power spike for the day. Make sure to like and subscribe across all the platforms that you are enjoying our show. It helps us out greatly. Here's my last thing. I'm pushing to get Twitch partner. I'm now stating it, which means it's going to be embarrassing when I don't get it, but
yeah,
I would
don't
like
help
to
be God.
Yes. Help me. I'll do less gameplay and more just talking to camera.
He'll
if that works.
The Department of State's dick, just like I had to.
More, you know what? At this point, just help your boy out. So again, give me the follows and, you know, just idle while I'm streaming. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. We will come back next week for, I guess, playoffs for LCS. Who made it? Who didn't after the Super Week? And seeing more LCK and LPL action. Until then, see you later.